for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, everybody was kung fu fighting. Let's hit the jacuzzi. It's 1989's Andy Sidaris classic, Savage Beach. Hillary is here.
Hey, guys. How my ghouls, gays, and nays.
Woohoo! So this was a buy me a coffee choice from our friend Jen, who has been a huge supporter of the show, has given us lots of money to keep the show going. We adore Jen. She's fantastic. Talk to me about Buy Me a Coffee, Hillary. Like, what is that? And how did Jen get us to do this movie?
So Jen went to buymeacoffee.com and searched Manic Movie Monday. And if you go there and you buy five coffees, you get to choose a movie of your choice to be done manic style, which is Aaron researching, Aaron knowing backstories on all the characters, Aaron asking Hillary, hey, did you recognize this person? And Hillary's facial blindness is always like, absolutely not. Hillary coming in with just thoughts, feelings, and opinions.
Yes.
Yes. And that is Buy Me a Coffee. So if there is a movie that you think should be in our playlist or that you would enjoy hearing, go to buymeacoffee.com, search Manic Movie Monday, and you can buy five coffees and we will do the movie of your choice.
Fantastic. And so Jen selected Savage Beach. Savage Beach is part of the 12 exploitation action films released between the mid-80s and the 90s, referred to as Bullets, Bombs, and Babes. The films follow the exploits of a mostly female office of DEA agents in Hawaii. Many of the films employ the whole buddy cop format, and the movies were unique for their time period because they focused specifically on a pair of female law enforcement officers, which at the time was not done, and then men who are really stupid and just kind of do things in the background, basically.
It's really like the Oppenheimer of 1989. You know, like,
well, there are four plots going on in this movie.
There are interconnecting plots. The female DEA officers are also drug carriers of vaccines.
Yes, they are. Yep. They operate a
couriers.
Like, courier service. Yes, thank you. They offer a courier service. And take care. Yeah, that's it.
No, I mean, they're busy. They are doing a lot. They are really single-handedly like saving Hawaii.
Absolutely, and they're gorgeous. On the left-ish, we have Donna, played by Donna Spear, Playboy's Playmate of the Month for March of 84. Donna Spear is interesting because she got into the business specifically because she was a playmate. They saw her in Playboy and they said, we want her for this action-based, you know, series that we're doing in Hawaii.
And was she crimped hair? Or Big Blue Eyes?
Big Blue Eyes is Hope Marie Carlton, also a playmate.
Yep.
You would recognize Hope Marie Carlton. Seriously, I know you're shaking your fucking head. but no. In Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, there is a part where the guy falls in love with the pinup model that's on his poster, and she ends up underneath his waterbed, and he goes to follow her, and then, of course, Freddy jumps out. The naked woman who is underneath the waterbed is Hope Marie Carlton.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and she was Playboy Playmate of the Month, July of 85. So, Donna was a super alcoholic. I mean, like, big time alcoholic. So, she did a movie for the Sidaris family, Andy and Arlene. She did a movie in Hawaii called Hard Ticket to Hawaii. Excellent film. I've done it on the show. She was drunk the entire shoot, to the point that she was so drunk that they ran overtime and did not get out of shooting until 4 o'clock in the morning. She could not hit her mark. She would get her lines right, but she couldn't hit her mark because she was falling down, stumbling drunk. So, oddly enough, this did not impede the Sidarsis from bringing her back for a sequel. So she comes back for Picasso Trigger. When she came back for Picasso Trigger, she had to apologize. She had to make amends because at this point, she had gotten sober. She had started going to meetings and she had, I think, 90 days. So at this point, she had 90 days clean and she had to go around to every single crew member and apologize for her behavior on the first one and for basically making everybody's life incredibly miserable. So, Savage Beach is the third of that particular trilogy that features her and Donna and Taryn, basically. So, Taryn, yes, Taryn, Hope Marie Carlton, she was in Nightmare 4, and she is now a famous makeup artist. She owns her own makeup company, and she does like skincare and makeup and all that kind of stuff. So,
A skill I wish I had.
dude, okay. So it's funny because there's been so many times, especially lately, where I've wanted to text you and be like, okay, you need to teach me about makeup because I don't know how to girl in that respect. Like, I never learned makeup. And whenever I ask people, they're just like, oh, just go on YouTube and like watch the tutorials and learn how to do it. Bro, I have tried that. And like, it's different, man. Because when I was like a teenager, like a kid, like I would go like preteen, and I would go to the Clinique counter, right? They would be like telling me stuff and they would give me products. And it was this whole thing. It was so professional and cool. And now, man, they could care less. They just don't care. They're just like, yeah, we're gonna do your makeup. Now get the fuck out of here.
Every so often, there's like a good person at Sephora.
Okay. Yep.
Like it's a random like hit or miss. Sometimes you go in and it's like Mean Girls Club, and then other times you go into a Sephora, and it is usually when they have a man working at Sephora. And I know that's so
Oh.
weird for me to say, but
Okay.
usually Sephora will hire, like a drag artist, or just a male who wears makeup. It's
Nice.
yeah, it's not like the frat bros that are working at Sephora. But if I see a guy in Sephora in the all black, I will go into that Sephora and like talk to him and be like, "Can you help me? 'Cause I know
Wow.
how to do like punk rock, black, heavy black eyeliner with bright red lip, and I look dead," which I like. Now, like that is kind of like my signature kind of look.
The look
But
that you
every
have
so often,
cultivated, yes.
when I can go out looking like Beetlejuice, I'm ecstatic. But every so often, I need to, look respectable, and I need to like go and like meet people and have business meetings. And I'm like, so my look doesn't work. I need to tone it down, reel it in, and like super helpful. Really loves talking about makeup, and I don't get mean girl energy. So if you ever see a male working at Sephora, that's my go-to trick as well, of like find a guy that works at Sephora and go, "Please help me."
I love that. That is totally going to be life goals for me now because it's really disconcerting. Like going in there as a 45-year-old woman and I'm just like I don't know. I have to clearly phone a friend whenever I put makeup on. I think I own some makeup. It's in a bag, but I don't know anything about it. I don't know what you put on first, like bro. So, yeah, I kind of thought you were like makeup expert. So I was gonna be like, you gotta tell me like what do I need to go buy? Where do I need to go? What do I need to do? You know. It's getting harder and harder to cover up just the aging process. Like, that's the thing. I've looked 28 a good portion of my life. It's just good genes, you know. My mom's in her 70s, she looks like she's in her 50s. Like, we're just good gene people. However, I now have crow's feet, aka laughing lines, whatever. I don't, I now look that like I am aging. I'm in my 40s, right? So I just want to learn how to look, maybe just tighten it up a bit. You know, like I am very much into the growing old gracefully. Like
Yeah.
my tits will be my tits when I am buried. I'm totally okay with that. I have accepted the aging process, but I do want to, brighten up the brighten up the face a bit, So anyway, if you're listening to this show and just now joining us, this is Makeup Tutorial with Hillary and
Yes.
Aaron. Anyway, okay, so we have our two playmates. They are driving a Jeep towards a pineapple warehouse. Meanwhile, there are two other, we'll call them the B team. That's
Yeah.
Patty Cakes and Rocky. Patty Cakes is Playmate of the Month 1984 May. And the other one I don't really know or care. So they are there to distract the guys who are
Guarding the
guarding
pineapples.
the pineapples. So they go to distract the guys who are guarding the pineapples, and meanwhile, our faithful DEA agents, Donna and Taryn, come in and open up one of the pineapples. They open up a pineapple and find that there's some China White. Love
An
that
eighth.
expression.
There's an eighth of cocaine
An eighth
in
of
the
cocaine
warehouse.
in
I laughed so hard when she pulled out the like tiny little baggie, and I said, wait a minute. This is a cocaine like distribution front, and they have an eighth of cocaine.
Right.
They have a sandwich baggie that is two fingers across. That we are not packaging kilos. We are not really moving weight. We have an eighth of cocaine. And even if all of the pineapples are full of an eighth of cocaine, you don't need to be there.
They jump out of the Jeep to investigate this, and they are wearing what could only be described as the Banana Republic porn star collection. These are they okay? Is it a jumpsuit or a romper?
So they are rompers that if you were going to put Crocodile Dundee in porn, that's what they are wearing.
Like Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. No, yeah, you
Oh,
know,
look
like
what I
Steve
did.
Irwin, Crocodile Dundee. Yeah. You, oh, he's got a nasty little bite on him. And that's Australian, FYI. Let's go make friends with him. Yeah,
Oh,
like the
yeah.
whole Bindi Irwin, if you were going to put her in porn, don't, because this whole family should be protected.
Absolutely. Protect the
Protect the
Irwins
Irwins.
at all costs. Absolutely.
But yes, if you were going to put them into porn, what you would put them in. Yeah, that is the only way to explain this outfit. But yeah, no, it is a romper one piece with a belt
So they bust the
and
drug
cowboy
dealers.
boots.
Yes,
Yeah.
and oh, absolutely. Forget the tan cowboy. I mean, they match. Like
Yeah,
they're
oh, very matchy, matchy,
matchy.
matchy.
Total matchy matchy. They do. They foil the eighth of a drug plot oh, and then they blow up a van.
Yeah, then they blow up a van, and
And then it's time to hit the jacuzzi.
like you do after a hard day's work with your friends.
Topless.
Or
Yeah.
and possibly bottomless, because
Right.
you don't see what's happening, but just let's just get naked and get in the hot tub. It's been a hard day in Hawaii. Hi.
So then we cut to a very well coiffed, haircutted, kind of, I would say, mullety, very mullety, secret agent question mark named Shane Abilene.
Yeah, no idea who he is or why he was invited. He seems very useless.
So one of the okay, so it's fantastic for you pointing out that he's useless. Okay, so, in the series, as I like said last night, took a shot of ZzzQuil and read until I fell asleep. It was just
Good for
me
you.
and
I just ended with questions and said, Maybe I'd get Erin this episode with my 600 fucking questions because she's researching, and they will just all stay locked in the trap.
Absolutely. So yeah, last night, like, I'm literally, it's just me and Christopher Cross is sailing in the background. I'm doing my shot of Z-Quil and I'm reading about the Andy Sidaris universe, right? So apparently Shane Abilene is part of the Abilene family. And the Abilene family is consistent of, I want to say they're all brothers or cousins, and none of them can hit the broadside of a barn, but they're somehow, they are secret agents. Like they are DEA. I think that they all work for the CIA. Like literally, I think all of the good guys in this movie, only because, like I said, and seriously, as a recovering drug addict, I don't know if the DEA and the CIA are related. Are they?
I mean, they all have like their own alphabet mafia that is just like controlled by the Department of War,
War,
if you will.
are they related to ATF, like alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, or is it drug
It's its
enforcement?
own, yeah, it's its own agency, but it's all like covered by like Homeland Security because like CEA can do like whatever the fuck they want. And like DEA has more rules and ATF has more rules, but like CIA is just like, we're CIA. Literally anything we want to fucking do, we can do. Give me your drugs, DEA. We're going to go give them to Colombia. We're going to let Colombia sell drugs in America. Just shut up. We're CIA. We do whatever we want.
It's nuts. It's really nuts. Okay, so CIA slash DEA agent Shane Abilene from the Abilene family, he gets a call from somebody
Yeah. Well,
who's
from the doctor at the hospital.
Oh, that's right, because he's
Yeah.
the reason. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Yeah,
No,
okay.
there's a lot going on in this movie. Yeah. The doctor in the hospital calls secret agent Shane Abilene and is just like, these kids are gonna die if they don't get Genesis 5. And he's just like, I'm on it. You'll have that within 24 hours. Let me just suck on these titties real quick.
Yeah, so he's having lackluster pool sex, I should say, with this absolutely gorgeous woman whom we never see again. And Shane delivers his lines pretty much like, well, let's see. Like he's at gunpoint and he's forced to give a performance. Right? Like he's just like da 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 da. Is that good? Is that good? Did I do okay?
Did I do okay, Mom? Yeah, he
Please.
delivers like dominoes. You know,
Please.
like you get it, but is it good? You know, like that's.
I see the goddamn Domino's commercial too, I get really angry because I know anytime I deign to go to Domino's, I'm gonna be disappointed.
Every time.
Every time, right? But I see the commercial and I'm like, well, it looks like it's gotten better. And no, it hasn't.
No,
Like,
it.
Domino's Pizza to me is like the Adult Video News Awards. Every year, I get really excited about the AVNs. I get very excited. I order Showtime just so I can watch it. And every year, I am both disgusted and disappointed and also very lost. Exactly how I feel when I decide to order Domino's Pizza once a year. It's the same thing. It's the same
Same thing.
level of disappointment, really. So Shane calls the DEA crew on a 1989 fax machine.
That we just have outside by the hot tub. It is not wired to anything, in case anybody else missed that. Yeah, it is just on a like beach poolside cabana table. Where you keep your fax machine. And yeah, they take the call from Shane Abilene, and he's just like, hey, I'm on my way with my plane because we have to get the Genesis 5 to the kids on the other side of the island. And the girls are just like, absolutely, that is our job as DEA drug busters. We also need to run drugs to sick, dying children. Absolutely. This falls directly in our wheelhouse completely.
Good drugs. Yeah. The
Good. Yeah. Yeah. So we get the bad drugs
Genesis
and we need the
5.
good drugs. Yes.
Genesis 5 serum. So Donna and Taryn, whatever the opposite of disrobe is, put their clothes back on and jump in their helicopter.
Shane shows up with the drugs in his helicopter
Right.
and a goodie bag of a hard cocked gun.
Oh, yeah, okay. So let's just talk about this movie is full of more dick gun metaphors than I've ever seen in any fucking cinema masterpiece, in my opinion. It is like, well, this gun is big. Big is good. Big serves a purpose. You know, just.
Performance is better. Yeah. It is a long scene about just like stroking a gun in a bag. And then yeah, Donna and Taryn jump into their helicopter to
Which,
bring the drugs.
so fun fact, I'm watching this with Slink, and you know, he's barely paying attention. He was on his phone the entire time. So he kind of looks up and looks at the helicopter and he says, "That's a K-copter." And I was like, "Qu'est-ce que c'est?" And he says, "Well, you know what a K-car is, right?" And I was like, "The car you assemble yourself." And he goes, "Yeah, that's a K-copter." He goes, "That's a helicopter that people can assemble like in their backyard and then they can fly away with it." And I was like, "That's a thing?" And he's like, "That is a thing." So they fly away on their K-copter. We get some beautiful aerial shots of Hawaii, you know.
Yes.
The one thing I can say about this movie is the scenery is gorgeous. I mean, the cinematography is gorgeous. The scenery is beautiful. Really beautiful. So made me want to go to Hawaii. So they're flying over wherever. And then we cut to, a guy. Uh-oh. Are you okay?
Sorry, dog stepped on my face. Literally, all that happened. I have a French bulldog who can't get himself into the bed, so I put my phone down to pick him up, and then the other dog just jumped all over my face.
Oh my God. Oh Lord. So okay.
Sorry.
This is hard. So we meet Captain Andreas in a boat captain outfit and played by John Aprea, and he I guess okay.
Is this the military guys?
Yeah, they're
Okay, so there's the military guys was going to the military, and then somebody rolls down his window and he takes a trank dart to the neck. And then some other guy strips him and puts on his clothes, and then he shows up to the military base with Captain Andreas. And now imposter guy that was going but is not the guy. And the guy who looks like No Country from Old Men guy. Yeah, and they're all standing around saying like, we gotta find this thing. And then there's another guy on the computer.
Yeah, the Australian who unfortunately disappears. Yes. And then the
Yes.
No Country for Old Men guy is Oberon. I'm not really sure what his name is in this movie. We'll call him Jose for the sake of, you know,
Being racist.
whatever. I'm allowed. I'm fucking allowed. I'm Hispanic. So come at me. Come fucking at me. Seriously. So yeah, he so okay. So they're gathered around what could only be described as a Commodore 64.
No, I was gonna go IBM, but you're
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
100% Commodore 64. They're apparently done playing wizardry. They're like, "Okay, let's bring up this map." And the map comes up and they're like, "Our thing that we're looking for is
Yeah.
somewhere in this map area." And
That is of the world.
so it's kind of like a electronic treasure map of sorts. I just figured that out just now. And they put it on a floppy disk in 89, like you would, absolutely. And it's basically being, it's did they give it to the Australian guy?
Well, the Australian guy made a copy of it
Okay, he
and
made a
snuck
copy.
it out. He was not supposed to have that. So he shows Captain Andreas and he goes, "Hey, so your stuff is, over here. Like more will be revealed." But then you see that he's also sneaking out a copy. And then he meets up with Jose in the desert. And Jose is like, "Hey, here's your briefcase full of money. Like, give me the disc. Here's your passport." And they have the switch off. And then he goes to Jose leaves, and Australian guy opens the briefcase and explodes himself.
Because it's actually a bomb. And when he gives him the briefcase, I love this because when he gives him the briefcase, he goes, "This is enough money to live in style for the next 100 years." And I'm like, "What in the, I'm like,
Yeah,
that's amazing."
I was like, how the there, no matter what denomination of bill is in that briefcase, it's not a
In
hundred years.
89. Yeah.
I was like, it's not 100 years. That's it, like the rest of your life, because you're probably 45, 50. Okay, I could give you the whatever is in this briefcase. You could go live the rest of your life in style. And you will be okay, so long as you're moving to like Honduras and you can just like live off this and be comfortable and happy. On the next 100 years, sir, bit of an overreach.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
that's not real
All
life.
right. Did boat captain Andreas look familiar at all?
He reminded me of the guy from Quantum Leap. I know it's not him. But the guy who had the Ziggy hologram thing that never, ever, ever worked.
Dean Stockwell. Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
yep.
gotcha. I gotcha. Okay.
That's not who that is, but I went, that looks like that guy with Ziggy.
No, but close. He was on a very famous TV show in the 80s. So
Knight
that is
Rider, A-Team,
nope.
Alice, Maz Diner. Cheers.
Think funny.
Cheers.
Oh, that would be way funnier than what I'm about to come up with. Okay. So he was on Full House. Sorry if that is outside of your wheelhouse. Little
Like
bit.
I know Full House, but he wasn't anybody popular.
Okay, so
He didn't live in the house.
he did not live in the house. No. So John Aprea, I don't know how this is humanly possible, but Miller and Boyette, who produced Full House, were a middle. They were in the middle of creating Full House, and Miller saw John Aprea in this movie, which I there are no words. he saw him in this movie, and he said, "You know what? We're making this show called Full House. I believe he should play Danny Tanner." Because Bob Saget apparently just didn't come along yet. So Boyette is like, "Fuck you, and if you do this, I will dissolve the partnership." And then so he said, "Well, okay, how about this? How about this? How about we make him the father of one of the guys who lives in the house?" So he is John Stamos's dad, or Nick Katsopoulos, since Jesse Katsopoulos. I watched a lot of Full House growing up because my sister was a big fan. So
Sure, blame it on the sister.
I do know a lot about that the Full House universe. But yeah, he's Uncle Jesse's dad on Full House. And the funny thing is that apparently that fight that Miller and Boyette had was so bad that they never recovered from it. Like, they continued their partnership, but apparently they were like at odds for the rest of the partnership. And I was like, that is the most bananas thing I have ever heard. Thank you, IMDb. If it's true, I don't know. It is the internet, so it could go many, many different ways. So the guy who shoots the dart into this poor, hapless army man is actually a World Motorcycle Speedway champion, which makes sense because he's riding a motorcycle in the he rides a motorcycle a lot in this movie. From 1981 to 1982, like that was his main thing. And then he got into these movies and was in it. For
And then was in movies.
yeah, was in movies. So they tell the girls, they say, okay, well, you got to land on the grassy. There's a grassy strip you have to land on because the rain has flooded the. What do you land on? Runway! Runway! It has flooded the runway, so you're going to have to land on this grassy strip. So they do. And they get the medicine. It is raining everywhere except the porch.
Yes. Yeah, luckily the strip that they land on pulls directly up to the hospital. So the
Yes.
doctor opens the door and is just like, "Thanks for the Genesis 5. You just saved a whole bunch of lives." We're like 25 minutes into the movie. The movie has not started yet.
Peace out.
Just so, yeah. And they just turn around. They're filling up the plane and they're like, "We gotta go. Storm's coming." None of that matters.
No,
None
because
of anything that has happened matters.
so then we cut again to this sort of Mr. Miyagi in old man makeup who is dying, complete with Asian flute music.
Yes.
And we do this flashback where, like I said, man, there's a lot
All the
of
things connect like perfectly at
at
the
the
right time.
end.
Yeah.
Yes, at
But
the
just
end.
like everything really neat, they were really running a whole lot on faith here of just because, like, the dying Japanese man who is like reciting his last will and testament to again another portable now Commodore 64, and he's typing out his last will and testament of how he gave Japanese gold to this other guy, all of it, all of the Japanese gold, to some guy on a boat with a chicken, and he was like, "Get this out of here. It's gonna preserve Japanese history. It's the only way to save your country. Like, Godspeed, get on the boat. Here's a chicken. You're gonna live forever. Yeah, take it to wherever it's gotta go." And the other Japanese guy is like, "Yeah, no, that's a solid plan. Me and my two guys, Hank and Bob over here, we're gonna go and we're gonna take all of the Japanese gold out of the country for World War II to save Japan."
Okay, yeah, so all that happens, and then we cut to a really nice Hawaiian hotel room, where we'll call him Jose, and the lovely
Hose B.
Miss Hosby, yeah, no, no kidding, is about to have sex with well, every man who is of a certain age will recognize Miss Terry Weigel. Miss Terry Weigel, April 86. Playboy playmate who then became a penthouse pet who then decided she was going to do porn, which then excommunicated her from the Playboy mansion and et cetera. She is let's see. Okay, so yes, Terry Weigel, oddly enough, Terry Weigel also did cheerleader camp. She did Return of the Killer Tomatoes. She did do some mainstream stuff. She apparently is very famous with the geeks because she's in Predator 2.
Okay.
She's naked in Predator 2, like
As well she should be. I
as well she should.
yeah, 'cause I absolutely stunning
Oh,
to
yeah.
look at. Again, lines with a gun to her head.
Yep, lines with a gun to her head. Very stilted. Like she's talking to Jose during sexy time about how this money will help their revolution. Do we know what the revolution is?
No.
Absolutely not. We don't
Do we know
care.
who their people are? No. They are definitely communists. That's a twist at the end. I'm sorry I ruined it for you, but you are going to find out that they are communists for some country in a rebellion. Go team.
Yeah, absolutely. So So, yes, if you'd like to check out her Terry Weigel's later work, please check out Diary of a MILF, Breast Wishes,
Yep, that sounds like a classic.
and my personal favorite, Monstrous Bitches of Cock Control 2. And I feel like I can't really see it because I haven't seen part one, and
Yeah, no, you'd be lost on the plot.
I feel like I'd be lost on the plot, and we all know how important continuity is to porn sequels. So, yeah, hey, if you check out Cockbuster Control, whatever the one I just said, because I just deleted it out of my notes, please add us. Let us know if it is any good.
Hey, PJ, that's a task for you.
That sounds like, yeah, yes, PJ, can you check out Terry Weigel's later work and let us know how that goes? So
If you could
then,
buy me a coffee, actually.
so we can see Crazy Bitches of Cock Control too. And what is cock control? Okay, because you're a little bit more in the kinky porn realm than I am, in the sense that you the kink.com stuff, and I'm not, like, I'm more like 90s pretty porn. So I have a question. Is cock control like, is it like, no, you can't come yet, kind of cock control? Or is it like, I'm gonna put your cock in like a, you know, like a
Like a
thing,
case.
like a ca oh cage, yeah, like a cock cage situation.
I feel like all of those things would fall under cock control. To me, it seems like a very dominatrix stance of I now control your
Your
cock.
cock, yeah,
Yeah,
okay, right,
as to
gotcha.
when it's going to please me, when you can touch it, when it can come, what, yeah,
Okay.
that's what I
Ooh.
think it is. But
Ooh.
again, we gotta wait for PJ to really watch it and dissect it and get back to
Absolutely,
us. Yeah.
absolutely. I will do nothing until PJ somehow finds this masterpiece and watches it. So the next scene is oddly enough, what Slink called Big Trouble in Little China, and I looked at him and I was like, "You are clearly racist." And then it turns out that the lead actor in this scene was
I love that. That is the best. Your racism is showing. Your facial blindness is showing. Who's more racist? Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. What a fun game. What a fun, good, fun game for the leftist,
It was.
non-racist people to play.
Absolutely. It's great. So that's Al Lung. He originally started out as a camera grip, but a director asked him if he did martial arts because, you know, he's Asian and all. And would he teach four kids some moves on film? He said, sure. When they started shooting it, he said, wow, you're really good. Would you like to be, you know, in these action movies? And he has been in, but is not limited to, Big Trouble in Little China, Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, Die Hard, Die Hard. Yes, Die Hard. I am so sorry for that.
Die hard. Die hard. Die hard.
Lethal Weapon? No,
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon, Die
Barbecue
Hard.
fork.
Yeah, that is a barbecue fork moment. Now, you would recognize him besides Big Trouble in Little China, but most 80s kids will recognize him as Genghis Khan from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I thought you were going to say the kung fu teacher in Pieces, and I was going to say that is not him. Listen, I have facial blindness every which way, but I can tell you right now, he is not Daryl's kung fu teacher
Daryl's time to teacher. Yeah, okay, so
in the masterpiece that is Pieces. Why do I know so much about this fucking movie? One movie in my life.
then these one group of Asians defeats another group of Asians, and then they make
Yes.
fake IDs, which I love this scene. Like
I do too. I
they
mean, it's
take
so bullshit, but yeah,
I was
so
like, is
the
that our thing?
two, yeah, no. So the two Asians that were listening to Dying Man's memoir, they go,
Oh.
yeah, that's who they are. So they go into the hotel with a new floppy disk. because everything is on a floppy disk.
Everything's on floppy.
Yeah. So they check into, I don't, yeah, they fly over to Hawaii from Japan and they stay in a very nice hotel. And then two other Asian men knock on the door and they're like, hey, we brought you a pineapple and Budweiser cans, because nothing says relaxing vacation in Hawaii like pineapple and Budweiser in a can. And then, yeah, they kung fu fight.
Yeah,
Is it
no,
kung
that's
fu? I don't know.
literally.
That might be racist. But yeah,
No,
no, they are kung fu fighting.
that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's the thing.
Yeah. And yeah, then the two new Asians that beat up the other Asians with the real floppy disk, they're just like, well, now we got to steal their IDs. And then just like put like passport pictures over their IDs and have like pretty much a gray credit card that they just like, it's like a little lamination machine that they're using. And they just, and it makes noises and it like lights up and does things and it laminates their fingerprints on it and their IDs. And they're just like, they're perfect. And I was just like, yes, they are. Yeah.
Indeed, they are perfect.
Perfect.
Okay, so I have a question for you because your husband, whoa, isn't that weird? Crazy. Your husband.
1 year tomorrow. What?
Ah, I know. Congratulations on that. That's amazing. It's so cool. So is a tech, right? So there's a scene in this movie where blonde motorcycle guy who has now infiltrated the boat captain situation. He is working on an airplane, like an airplane mechanic, except that he
Yes.
has no shirt on. And I have a question. Do any of our techs work with no shirts?
They would be fired immediately because we have contracts with dealerships. So,
Oh, so
like,
you guys have to. So even if they're techs, they have to wear.
yeah, they are all in,
Oh.
yeah, they are all in uniform. So we are easily identifiable from the dealership, which is why, like, our uniforms are blue and most, because most dealerships wear black.
Oh,
So our,
okay.
yeah, that's why our guys wear blue. So you have a clear difference that we are not representing ourselves as the dealership. We are the preferred vendor at the dealership. All
Oh.
of a sudden, guess who clued in? Oh, we're talking about work and business? Hold up. Yes.
Was gonna say,
Yeah.
you, I'll be honest with you, man. You've carried the plot in this fucking movie. I gotta say, in this episode, you have known way more about the Asian going-ons than apparently my racist ass did.
I mean, it's a whole deconstruction process that I've been doing through TikTok. But yes, yeah, so our guys have to be in shirts. And if my husband were home, like doing, you know, something on our cars, he would want to wear a form-fitting tank top so
Oh,
he
okay.
doesn't burn his skin, because we're outside or the car is hot. So he doesn't want to burn his skin on that, but he also doesn't want like loose, flowy clothes that get caught and ripped and, you know, you get covered in urethane and glue and everything.
Okay. All right. Well, look at that. I learned something new. now then we cut to okay. So this sex scene. There is a sex scene between Terry Weigel. I don't know her name in this movie, by the way. I'm calling her Angelica. There's a sex scene between Angelica and Jose in the back of a car while a naughty saxophone plays, and they are buck ass naked in the back of this fucking car.
Being
But.
driven around, and this is
But.
like, this is a Buick
Right.
Skylark. This
That's
is
the
not
thing.
a limo. This, yeah.
Right. The way that it is shot, clearly, when they. They are not in the back of a Buick. They are in the back of
Yes.
a very roomy limousine or SUV because there's a lot of room. But when we
Yeah, but
pull
they are
back,
not.
when we pull back, it is absolutely a Buick LeSabre, if you will. Yeah. So. All right. So there's a horrible
The
storm.
Mercury.
Yeah. The girls decide. Actually, Slink pointed out that that is indeed a cutlass, but not a Cutlass Supreme. And I
Yeah,
asked him,
yeah.
what separates a cutlass from a Cutlass Supreme? And he said, the number of doors.
Oh, I
I
was going to
don't know
say
anything
8
about cars.
inches.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I got jokes too, Andy Icarus.
Okay, so okay, so the girls are flying. They decide that they're going to put the ca put the put the car, sorry, put the airplane.
Yeah,
They're
they're a
not in a helicopter.
helicopter.
Okay.
It's not a helicopter. It is like a small cargo plane. That's
Put the cargo plane on autopilot so that they can change into exact replicas of the clothing that they just changed out of.
Yeah,
Very
they were like, we
important.
got to get out of these wet clothes. And I was just like, I mean, you guys look pretty dry, but titty
Yes.
shot. And
Right.
okay.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Sure thing. So yeah,
Yeah.
they change and then their plane gets hit by lightning. And
Oh.
now,
Is that what happens? I thought it was just fog because it looked like it was so rainy and foggy that they were like, well, we gotta land this sucker because we can't continue.
Yeah,
Oh,
that's why all the lights go out. Yeah,
so they
they
got
got hit
struck
by
by
lightning.
lightning.
And yeah, all of their like equipment doesn't work, which is why they can't radio Shane, because he would have been so helpful. Yeah, they can't do anything besides like keep flying and keep it steady until we find land at dawn, which they do, and they land on Savage Beach. The movie can now start.
Okay, so that, okay, all right. So, yeah, when they land, they decide, like you do, that it is, well, first of all, it's feeding time for sharks, just FYI. dusk is absolutely not a good time to go swimming in Hawaii.
They're not marine biologists, Aaron. They are DEA agents.
they decide
Cut
they're
them
gonna
some slack.
strip naked and
Yeah.
swim. And what is, I have
Frolic.
this beautiful shot.
Yeah.
Really beautiful. Like sun lit, like
Yeah.
sun kissed. It's gold. Everything is
Yeah.
bathed in this gold light. It's a really beautiful scene. And these are
It
two
is
incredibly
beautiful women.
gorgeous women
Yeah.
just diving into the ocean. So I was like,
Yeah,
eh, all right.
frolicking. Yeah, no, I get why the scene is in the movie. It is gorgeous on every level. It is gorgeous for women and it's gorgeous for men. It like, yes, yeah, home run on this scene, but absolutely bananas for two DEA agents to not be concerned about food, shelter, anything else. They're just like, no, we'll figure that shit out, man. We're DEA agents. We know that we're gonna survive. We're fine. Let's frolic on the beach.
Let's go.
Cool.
Let's fog on the beach. And then the next day, they put on, this was such a good throwback for me because I love this fucking fashion style. They put on body glove swimsuits.
Yes.
Oh, the body glove swimsuit, bro. Oh my God. So they're one of them has a harpoon again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she caught two fish. She's carrying them up. The other one climbs a tree and gets a mango and a coconut. And
Yes.
yeah, they are living their best life. They do build shelter. And then there's a man watching them with so much mud on his face.
So much, and I was I'm wrong. I mean, I'm really wrong about this, but I thought that the guy on the beach was the old man that was dying because they have the same bad old man makeup on.
Yeah, me too. You're right there with me. I was just like,
And I
how
still to
did.
this day, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
no,
don't
it
actually
means.
know.
Yeah, so it's not that guy. I'm not going to spoil the ending as to who
Ooh.
that guy is. It's a doozy.
Oh, okay. Oh, we forgot about one very important plot point. I can't believe it. I'm
Probably.
just remembering this. There is a scene where Taryn and Donna are talking, and Taryn says, my grandfather was in World War II, and he went away to this island, Savage Beach, and was never heard from again. He died. He was
Yes.
killed in. Okay. So important to point that out. And also, Taryn
Kind
has
of.
big blue eyes.
Yes. Yeah. Taryn does have big blue eyes. Yes. And as they are in the plane, she does say, oh, you know, it's spooky over here. My granddad died over here in World War II because he was on a boat and then never seen ever
Again,
again.
yeah, absolutely.
And so we don't know what happened to his body or anything. So he might be alive and well,
Just
but he also may be dead.
right.
Nobody knows. He might be a prisoner of war somewhere, just held. We don't know really what happened to Taryn's grandfather. Just, yes. So now
So
there's a man on the beach who's caked with
with
mud.
fake, but with like most, his face looks like clay.
Yeah, no, he looks like a claymation prop. Like, he almost does not look like a people's.
No,
And
no.
yeah, and he's just, watching them. He's got salt and pepper hair that is also not very long.
Probably not real.
Clean, yeah, not clean shaven, because but maybe he is because of all the mud and you can't tell.
Nope. You cannot tell. So they get startled by something in the bushes, and they think, "Oh, it's a guy or it's a person, right?" So they go back to the plane. They get the bag of goodies that Shane has gifted them, and they shoot a missile.
Wildly.
Yeah.
Wildly for trained DEA agents, and without knowing what it is, like you do if you're the police. Oh, and they go over to investigate, and it's a rooster.
It's a rooster, so then they eat some cock.
Yeah.
They literally barbecue the rooster over an open fire, and is that a thing? Is it like, do people eat rooster?
I'm sure that you can.
Yeah. I eat everything else, yeah.
Right, yeah, like I don't see why not. So yeah, they just have some barbecue and they're just chilling on the beach, just like, wow, we got good eating. Nothing, no problems here. We're not
No.
worried about the plane. We're not worried about getting off. We do not set up like a distress anywhere. We the rocks that are like, hey, we're here, that could be seen from the
Help.
sky. Help. We do none of that because keep in mind, Shane has a fucking helicopter back
Right.
at Titty Central Base.
Right. So they then see a seaplane that lands with the military guy, the guy from Full House, so the military guys, and decide to paint themselves up with zinc oxide, like the old zinc oxide stuff. And I said to Slink, I was like, so is that like a camouflage thing? And he goes, it would be, except that they are not wearing camouflage clothes, so really what it is war paint. So I was like, okay, war paint, which then disappears in 2.5 seconds.
2.5 seconds. Also to mention, Mudman also applies more mud
More mud.
in war paint insignia of just like under the eyes, because now he is also decided he is going to war, but he has so much mud on his face that he just applied more mud.
Yeah, no, he it's the expression caked. It is caked on his face. So then the ladies get captured up like by a what's that thing called where they get to hung up upside down? What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Nope.
Yeah. But
Okay.
no, she steps in the rope and it tightens around her
And
leg
it
and then pulls her into the tree.
right. So they've been captured essentially by Mudman.
Yes.
Meanwhile, a boat arrives with Terry Weigel at the helm. Let's talk about her outfit for a second. We absolutely have to talk about this because this is
She's
like
killing it.
so 89. Okay. She is wearing a bra with like metal spikes on it that looks like it could take an eye out.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
For sure. And then like pants, like really like tight, like stretchy pants, with like a belt and a black leather and silver jacket.
Yes, yeah, and heels.
And
Exactly what you would wear on a treasure hunt on a secluded island. I couldn't think of a better outfit. If Talon was just like, hey, you know what we're gonna do for our wedding anniversary tomorrow? We're gonna go on a treasure hunt. I would be like, let me get my studded bra first up.
absolutely. Studded bra outfit.
My
Let's get this ready.
stilettos, yeah.
Yes.
And
Yes.
everything black, it's on a beach. Yes. black tight spandex pants, my black jacket with sequins and fringe and bedazzled, and let's go. Let me get my shovel. Now, the army guys are there with metal detectors. So we've got Jose Andreas and Captain Anderson, who also trank to the neck, the real Captain Anderson. He is a stand-in. Also to mention, he has let everybody know that the army trained him to be an astronaut. So there have their metal detectors. It's very important that we understand what the army's doing.
Let's talk about this metal detector for a second because Slick pointed this out and it really made me laugh because it was such a, unlock a memory thing. The metal detector sounds like when you used to dial a number, but the tone was off, so it would be like da 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 da, and it was like literally is what it sounds like when they're walking around. Oh, it sounds like when you turn the tone off on a rotary phone, on a really old phone.
And also to mention that we have been looking for Japanese sunken warships this whole time off the floppy disks. And also, just to let you guys know that they were doing like Wi-Fi and connecting in that one floppy disk could read another floppy disk on two different Commodore 64s. Yes, the once they got the second floppy disk, they were just like, now we can see what the other guys are seeing, but it's not a copy of this. They just said no, all floppy disks can read other floppy disks is what is going on. And they were like using Wi-Fi in 1989, way ahead of their time. Metal detectors now. I'm an astronaut from the army on Savage Beach.
Wild. Fucking wild. Okay. So Terry comes over. She hugs Jose.
Jose.
And this
Well,
is
because they have found the gold now,
right.
FYI. It
Oh,
was,
okay. So they find the gold, and I found out that those gold bars weigh 21 pounds a piece. So
Yes.
there's, and there were six of them.
Six.
Okay. All right. So six gold
So, like,
bars.
about 200 pounds.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. And three grown fucking men, one of whom is an army astronaut, they cannot lift this box.
Nope. Absolutely not.
200
But
pounds.
so Terry Weigel goes to hug Jose, and I still don't understand this. Her henchmen, who are also on the boat, come forward and shoot her. And I
Yes.
mean, and she falls into his arms, and I mean, it's like squibs everywhere. She is just bloody. And she falls into his arms, and he looks really confused because I kind of thought it was like a situation where he
He
had
double
planned it.
crossed.
He double crossed, right? But no, he is shocked as everybody. He's like, what happened? I
He
also don't know what happened, by the way.
the henchmen decided that the money wasn't gonna go to support the Communist Party because they're Asian. They want the money to go back to Japan. And we've been playing Communist Party goons this whole time. We want the gold to go back to Japan where it belongs.
All right. And then Claymation shows up. He throws a machete at one of the henchmen. It goes right through him, by the way, just whoosh, right through him, like butter. And then we find out that that astronaut guy, or I should say they find out that astronaut guy, is actually part of the good guys. Question mark. This is where my notes.
I got you.
Okay, 'cause no.
So they don't find this out yet. What they, Mudman throws the machete and they find the two girl DEA agents, the Andreas, Jose, and Captain America, find the women and tie them up to trees. Then, and then actually is when Henchman throws his machete and or Mudman throws his machete, kills a henchman, and they have found the gold. They're leaving with the gold, and he decides to run away from that fight and goes over to the blonde ladies and looks Taryn dead in her face. And Donna has a gun on him and is just like, hey, like, leave her alone. So he swings his sword at her and cuts her free. And then Taryn goes and unties Donna and is just like, why did you let him, like, almost kill me? And she was like, yeah, it was a chance I was willing to take, even though I had him dead to rights, point blank, down the barrel of a gun. So they get up, they go running after everybody just to get involved. Then they start fighting with the henchmen, and then the military guys are just like, hey, wait, like, who are you? And we're just DEA agents. And they're just like, okay, well, we're like government officials. We have to work together. Sorry, we just tied you up. Our bad. And they're just like, yeah, no, that tracks. We're friends now. You're a cute astronaut guy. So they all get into cahoots to go and kill Jose and the henchmen. Jose goes to the gold, cannot lift 21 pounds.
Yeah, no, can't. He's like limping.
Yeah, he is struggling to pick up 21 pounds, but puts it in a bag. Igor's out of there, gets to the dinghy, and Taryn blows up the dinghy with the secret match head arrow from Shane from earlier in the day.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, she blows up the dinghy, and now all of the gold that he had is in the water. They go, they kill everybody else, and then they meet on Savage Beach, where we have cute astronaut Army Boy, Captain Andreas, Donna, and Aaron. And they were just like, okay, hey, why don't you, hot ladies, take our boat plane and like go wherever it is that you go? Cut to, we see Shane with Debbie, no, Roxy and Patty. And Shane is just like, I know that I'm, like the superior here in charge of everything, and I have a helicopter. All that there is left for us to do at this point is pray. There is no other solution in
Yeah.
finding them at all.
It's really funny because so Rocky and Patty Cakes are sleeping outside on like really uncomfortable benches wrapped up in like wrapped up in comforters. Like they look like homeless people at this point. And I'm like, there's a perfectly good bungalow, just one, iota to the left. Like it's right there. Right. I don't, that's not the word I wanted to use. Barbecue fork to the left. They could have slept inside, but they slept outside by the bat phone, apparently.
Yes, by their unplugged fax machine.
By their unplugged fax machine. And then yes, he tells them, yes, the only thing you can do is pray. That's it. Yeah, we can't take my perfectly good plane
My good helicopter that I
helicopter.
brought you the Genesis 5 in,
Right.
I can't fly it anymore.
Nope, absolutely.
So, yeah, the two guys are just like, hey, thanks for helping us, wrap all this up. So, take our plane, no problem. Go to Macaw Island, which is where y'all live, and we'll be there later to fucking party the way that we do. And
Yeah,
then,
okay. So there is a point where all of this comes to fruition, right? There is a point where literally all of these plot lines, and there are many, converge finally. And that is on the island. First I thought that Clayman was Taryn's papa. And then I was
me
like,
too.
and then I was
But
like, oh, but apparently that's not a thing, because he says to her,
in Japanese,
in Japanese, which apparently Captain Andreas is totally
totally
okay,
fluent in.
just fluent. Like he's like, oh yes, well he's saying this. Not Papa, proceeds to tell this story, which is essentially that him and two very buff Asian men.
He was the boat captain that was given the task of leaving with the gold. Whoever you are, guy, here's all the gold and the chicken. See how we come full circle. And he never ate it in 40 years, but you need to bring the gold over. And he did with his two friends. And now he relays this story of memorabilia.
Yes. It And basically, Taryn's like, "Why didn't you kill me?" And he says, "I could not kill those eyes again." Because it turns out Clayman killed Taryn's papa. Now, what's interesting about this scene is that he's like, I didn't have a chance to atone for the murder, so therefore I'm atoning by letting you go. And Taryn is like sobbing uncontrollably during this scene. Like she really wants that Golden Globe in this part. Like she is just crying, and and then Clayman just dies. Also important to point out that Captain America apparently must have gotten so sunburned the day they were filming that he looks like a piece of barbecue.
No, he is a hot pink all of a sudden.
Oh my God. Oh my God. He
Painful to look at.
looks very painful. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yes, everybody reconvenes in someplace in Hawaii, I guess.
Well, yeah, while he gives them the plane boat to leave, Anderson is just like, okay, the military's on its way to come get the gold. And then Captain America is just like, psych, bitch, I'm CIA. CIA's coming to get the gold. And he infiltrated their operation, and the CIA gets the gold. And then they take a yacht because the CIA sent a yacht off his flip phone. To Savage Beach coordinates. And they yacht over to Macaw Island, where everybody is hanging out, and now they're going to dance the night away.
Yes, that's literally how it ends. Everybody pairs up. If this was a porno, there would be a huge orgy at this point, but there's not. It's just a bunch of people just, yeah, no, just sitting there and dancing, and then Taryn reveals that she once again stole, because that's apparently a thing that she I looked this up at the end of every film that Hope Marie Carlton appears in. She steals something from this from. From whatever's recovered, whether it's diamonds or gold, in this point, she steals.
Yes, she's just like, I found it in the ocean because she blew up Jose in the ocean when he had the gold. So if you find something in the ocean, it belongs to no one and it's yours. And then CIA guys just like, yeah, no, that tracks. That's fine.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Same. I mean, they're just it this. This movie ends like a sitcom. Like it, all it needed to do was include like a whackety smackety-doo at the end. Like they were like, and a
A little
few
Cheech and Chong van just drove by and like ripping smoke out the windows. No, the end.
and a freeze frame or something, but no, that exactly how it ends. It ends with a good chuckle, a joke about, Taryn's kleptomania. And everyone's gonna get laid that night. And that's it. That's
Faux
the end
show.
of the movie. Credits.
Andreas gets Patty and Rocky. Shane gets Donna, which
Which,
blows my mind, but
so
okay.
apparently, now here's, like I said, did the research. Apparently, Donna has had sex with all of the Abilene brothers or cousins or family, because in Hard Ticket to Hawaii she has sex with Rowdy Abilene. In this movie she's gonna have sex with Shane Abilene, and in Picasso Trigger there's another Abilene. So yeah, this is a thing that she just kind of
She
like
knows her wheelhouse. She's like, oh, you're the Abilene? I'm gonna fuck you.
she's like, okay, I understand that you can't shoot and you're really dumb, and apparently that is my type. I like to fuck them dumb and not equipped. So guess what? Yes, line up, guys. So,
It's good to know your type, I guess. Good for you.
absolutely, absolutely, good for you. So yeah, Donna Spear, she's the first person to admit she's a terrible actress. In this amazing book that she wrote called Naked Truth, The Fall and Rise of Donna Spear, she talks about her battles with addiction, her wildly inappropriate adventures, and also being a Playboy playmate. But she talks about doing these movies. One of the more interesting and endearing facts about the Sidaris family is that when they found out she's in recovery, they made sure that there was a car on site at all times to take her to a meeting. So if she needed to go to a meeting, she was going to get to go to a meeting on set, which a lot of Hollywood movies probably wouldn't do.
Yeah, no, I do love that.
Yeah. So then she was doing she did the Sidaris movies for a while until the Sidaris movies decided that they were Andy was too old to direct at this point. So his son took over and the films became non-union films. And the way that is that if you are a union actor, you're part of the, Screen Actors Guild or whatever, you can't do non-union movies. It's almost like they'll take away your status, or they'll take away your card, right? And she didn't want that. She wanted to keep her SAG card, basically. And so she told him, she's like, "This is where we part ways." I think she did like seven movies for them. And then she was like, "I'm on." Then the formula changed. So, like I said last night, Zequel, the film started off as the women were the main people, though the women were, quote, the brains of the operation,
Definitely.
and the men are just ornamental, right?
Yes.
So that was how it started. When it switched over to there was like one really powerful DEA guy and a bunch of like female henchmen that he had, and it changed. And as someone who's seen a handful of these movies, and don't ask me to tell you as far as like deciphering between the two or anything like that, they kind of blend in after a while. But I can say that I prefer it when the women were in charge, when the women,
Absolutely.
yeah, when it was just like team women, like Lethal Ladies, like that was more interesting to me,
For
right?
sure.
So she went on to do a bunch of Playboy appearances. This was back in a time period where Playboy models got paid stupid money
Right.
to do things like appear and do this. So anyway, she was making an appearance at the Sands in Las Vegas, and she had to share a house with a bunch of other showgirls, and she kept leaving the house in the middle of the night to go to a candlelight meeting. And finally, the girls are like, "What the fuck? Like, why are you leaving at midnight every night?" And she like said, "I have 3 years clean and I'm going to a meeting." And the one girl started crying and she was like, "I have 90 days." And then the other girl started crying and she's like, "I have 5 days." And so
Oh.
the girl who had 90 days was trying to take care of the girl who had 5 days. And she's like, "Well, if you guys want to go to a meeting with me, like we can go." So then it became this field trip that they would do every night. And then soon enough, like the crew members were joining in, musicians from the band that was performing that night would join in. And it became this like packed car of people going to meetings every night.
Love that.
Yeah, I figured you would. So I, like I
Yes.
said,
I
that.
do love the sense of community that you can find through 12-step fellowshipping. Like,
Absolutely.
trying to make friends in your 40s. And if you are not going to like the bar, like where do you
Where
meet?
do we go? We go to
Where
like
do we go?
craft fairs, like
Right. And even if you go to a place like the Ren Faire, which I've been to out here, I've been to like, punk rock, flea market and things like that. I'm not coming away with like a friendship. I might come away with like some jewelry or a story, but like I'm not meeting somebody there to be like, hey, you want to like hang out and just like get coffee Sunday morning? Like without the fellowshipping of a 12-step program, it is very difficult to move somewhere and make friends. And it's one of the things that I am very grateful for that I'm, a drug addict in recovery.
Absolutely. And I'm very grateful for the fact that, had it not been for recovery, you and I would never have met.
No. No. Yeah, this podcast would not exist.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
Nope.
not. This podcast wouldn't exist. I'd probably be dead in a ditch somewhere. I mean, just I someone was saying something like, it's, I had friends growing up, but I don't have friends now, or something like that. And I said, I didn't have friends until I got into recovery.
Right.
Because I didn't know how to be a friend until I got into recovery.
Yeah,
you know.
no, yeah, same. I had like people that like I ran with. I had future marks is really what they were. You know, like I'm gonna get you at some point. Like people would just be floored that I robbed them, and I would be like, "You see who I am and what I do. I thought you loved me. Bitch, look at what I'll do to me. You think I give a shit about you? I'm confused as to your confusion. That is surprising to me. I am putting myself through absolute hell, degradation, all of it, and you think I love you? I am sorry that you are crazy. Crazy.
So, Jen, thank you for this. This was actually a fun episode.
This was a lot of fun.
We had a good time. And I give you mad credit, bro, because you understood this plot more than I did. I brought the factoids and the and more Playboy Playmate statistics than we needed. But you the plot. Holy shit. God.
Yeah, and that's if I'm watching a movie, any movie, it could be a B movie, a cult movie, a horror movie. Once there is a hole in the plot for me,
Amazing.
my macaw just it lives there. And I go, none of this, nothing else matters because of this plot point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and yeah, if you lose me on a big old hole, then I just go, nothing else fucking matters. Okay, we're just watching. But they did, now a whole lot of things are going on. It's a whole lot of insanity and everything else, and I'm an astronaut, army ranger. Yep. That's a job. You know, but they were just like everything connected, even in insanity, and that itched my brain. It can be crazy. You just have to, I can suspend my disbelief in almost anything and just go, thank you for answering that. Because I was just like, who are you? Like when we were getting to the end, and I was just like, why did we trank the fucking army guy? Why? And he was just like, I'm CIA, bitches. And I was like, thank you. Oh God, thank you. I was going to go off on this movie if you did not just scratch that itch in my brain. And they did. You know, Andy Icarus and I, we can hang out because he's just like, I'm going to throw you a whole lot of factual information and see who's paying attention because I'm going to answer you. And that's all hail Andy Icarus.
Well, you know what? That's interesting that you pointed that out, though, because the one thing I can say about Andy Sidaris movies is that, yes, they always connect the dots at the end.
Yeah, I need it. You cannot leave me in an open fucking plot hole. Because otherwise, nothing else matters. It's when it's glaringly obvious to me, who's honestly, I'm clever, but I wouldn't say I'm smart. They're different. Yeah, no.
You're very business smart. Like really business smart. Like you're like a person who has an MBA without having an MBA. I'm
And to me,
saying.
that falls under like clever, because I'll figure it out. You can give me a problem and I will keep working on it. Whereas, like, our bookkeeper is smart. Because when I ask her a question and I go, hey, I'm trying to comprehend this and I don't understand. And she's just like, oh, well, yeah, it's this. It's very, you know, like her reading comprehension is like wicked smart. So she is smart. I'm clever.
Okay, what am I?
You are also smart. You go more to smart. Yeah, no, you are. You, yeah, yes. And yeah, you are smarter than me. My husband is smarter than me.
No,
No, you are.
I think
It's.
I think T's smarter than both of us.
Oh, well, yeah. Then I'm not trying to throw shade. He's smart on a different level.
Level.
And if anybody from our podcast ever gets to like meet us in our life and actually meets my husband and is like, you guys think this fucking guy is smarter than you? Give him 30 minutes. Because at first, it's just going to be I'm going to try to relate to you with comedy quotes from comedies from the late 90s to early 2000s. And that's all he knows. And it's all he's going to quote. But then all of a sudden, if you're just like, hey, I have a, you know, question about astrophysics, he can answer you. And it's going to blow your mind because it does me all the time.
Yeah. And then Slink has an eidetic memory, and this motherfucker can recite everything that you said, did, wore, ate. It is bananas, but it comes in handy in so many situations because I don't remember things like I used to. Not even close, man. And I guarantee you he did more drugs than I did, but he has that gift. It's like we're all fitted with our whatever our gifts are, you know? The next movie we're going to do is called Haunt, and Miss Hillary picked. Thank you. Wow. This episode was full of macaw barbecue fork moments. I'm just gonna say that.
Team Maka all day.
This was an editing nightmare. Okay, so you picked out The Haunt, and you said it is on Tubi, so
It is on
anybody.
TV.
We have a good fan base right now of people who actually get in touch with us and say, you know, hey, what's the next movie going to be so I can pull it up on Tubi and watch it?
Yes, it is going to be Haunt. I want to say early 2000s. You will know creepy clown mask is the cover art.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh yeah, I'm totally in. I'm absolutely in. I love it when it's something I've never ever laid eyes on before. So,
I haven't watched it in a long time, but I
ooh.
remember I really loved it when I saw it. So
Okay.
maybe we come back here and we're just like, Hillary, what happened?
Oh my
Or
God.
maybe we go, this was great.
I'm excited, man. I'm totally excited. So, this episode will drop on a Monday, and if you guys want to follow us, please do so on Manic Movie Monday Podcast on Instagram. And as always, stay
Manic.
manic. Okay, I think we really nailed that one.
Yay.
That never happens.